What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Big One Podcast. We are your favorite motorsports podcast on Twitter at Podcast Big One. Emails podcastbigone@gmail.com. We talk NASCAR, we talk IndyCar, we talk Formula One, we often talk local tracks, and this is the season where we will be getting into some local track action. Our sponsor this weekend, brought to you by my cohort on the podcast, I will turn it over to him right now. Hello? 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 Well, it seems we have some technical difficulties going on, so I will bring you in for our sponsor. We've got Blue Moon. This is a big one. We had a weekend in Platteville with all of the G's. We had Lil G, EG, Big G, Baby G, all the G's out there in Platteville, Crazy G, Smokey G. It was a G factory, bro. This was unbelievable. Fun weekend out in Platteville celebrating G that will not be named because he is not part of the crew on the Big One Podcast. So we're going to jump right into things in the absence of our co-host here this week. We don't know what's going on with his audio. It's not working, so we're going to keep on trucking. So Corey Heim, Heim Time, officially signed with 2311 starting in 2027. Love to hear that. This is one that we have been hoping to hear for a long time here on the Big One. I've been a Corey Heim stan my entire podcasting career since I've been watching the truck series. This guy's got talent, and he's going to take the 35 car over for the guy that is escaping me at the moment, Riley Herbst, which has the Monster Energy sponsorship. He's out. Corey Heim is in 2027. Next up on the storylines, Kevin Magnussen is the new Trackhouse Project 91 driver. He is entering the San Diego Naval Base race for NASCAR. So this is interesting. Don't know a lot about Kevin Magnussen. I know he's got a lot of experience over there in Europe. He's a big name. Love to see him getting in the Project 91 car. Last storyline this week, O'Reilly series averages 1.123 million viewers, continuing to clock in over a million viewers every race. Love to see that. So we've talked about this a lot on the Big One Podcast. The CW is absolutely killing it with their O'Reilly's coverage. They're on the same network every week. They're typically on a Saturday afternoon. Occasionally, they have a Saturday night race. Not all that often, but you can usually tune in mid-afternoon, pop on your TV, pop the antenna out there, and you will be seeing NASCAR O'Reilly Series truck cars on the track. Cup Series this week, 1.655 million on Amazon Prime. That's down 12% from last year. So if you look at that delta from O'Reilly, which is the minor league series of NASCAR, basically the AAA ball, they're only 500,000 off from NASCAR Cup Series. I mean, that's very concerning for me from a longevity standpoint, from a cup advertising standpoint. If you've got the O'Reilly Series creeping up on almost as many viewers, that's scary stuff. So we've got to figure this out. Amazon Prime, the down 12% is not really that surprising because this race was delayed over an hour, and we'll get into this in the Cup Series recap, but the race ended after 12:30 p.m. Eastern on the East Coast, so I think a lot of people just bailed after that rain delay that pushed the race to a post. Gosh, it was like 8 p.m. here central, so very, very late start out there on the East Coast. All right, that was the end of storylines. We're going to bring this right into some race recaps from Nashville Super Speedway. First, starting off with Truck Series, I'll bring you in with the stage winner, Stage 1, Lane Riggs, Stage 2, Lane Riggs, and Stage 3, race winner, Lane Riggs. Couple of notes here to go through. Lane Riggs, as we said, dominates Stage 1 and Stage 2. little bit of inside baseball. We take these notes as the races happen, so probably could have cut that one, but we're coming to you live here late night on a Friday evening after some local play action at the Repertory Theater in Milwaukee. Saw Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None, and then I got bailed on by my podcast host, B-Boy. So we're going to roll through the rest of the truck race. So 34 to go, and Fox goes to commercial, obviously, as they always do, and Caden Honeycutt loses power. I'm on the fly here because I did not see this race. I was out of town, and we're going to roll with B-Boy's notes. Ross Chastain, Raja Karuth, and Tyler Ankum make a call to get tires early. Then they stay out and run the full stage up front. Ross starts out first, but Raja works him quickly. I don't know what that means. He's working him in the car. He's working him in the trailer. He's working him in the haulers. He's working him hard. But as we said, Lane Riggs dominates this race and ends up beating them all to the start of the end of stage one. Wow. Coming to the end of this thing, I'm reading the notes here, and I am mentally reading and just visualizing B-Boy's notes. Riggs is insane. Contact coming to the white flag, but he gets it done. Raja Karuth second, Smith in third. What a finish. And Lane Riggs gets a guitar at Nashville Motor Speedway, Super Speedway, his first, to his dad's third. So overall, absolutely bomber notes here by B-Boy. Appreciate you bringing these here on the Big One podcast. Coming into the Sunday race for the Cup Series at the Nashville Super Speedway. We just did a little sipski for new guy. If you didn't hear that, we'll do another little quick one here. Great stuff. So Super Speedway at Nashville for the Cup Series. Race was delayed about an hour due to rain. We also did not get a whole lot of practice or qualifying at this race, which is unfortunate. So we've been going on the metrics a lot of the time this year, which I don't love. Stage one winner, AJ Allmendinger. Stage two winner, Daniel Suarez. And your stage three and race winner, burying the lead, was Denny Hamlin. Coming to the green flag start of this race, Denny Hamlin was on the pole because of the metrics, and he goes the earliest I think I have ever seen a driver go in a NASCAR race since I've been watching. He has to be like 300 yards before the restart zone, and he guns it. So he's like 6 to 7 to 8 car lengths ahead of the rest of the pack as they take the green flag. And he's got to do a drive-through penalty, so he's all the way back in the field. And I've got a comment here that this is going to be a long day for Denny Hamlin on the track. SVG early in this thing, he's good. The comment here is SVG is good on ovals now? Question mark. SVG is absolutely good on ovals now. He's been showing some interesting speed, talent, etc. And I'm loving what I'm seeing out of SVG on the ovals. Christopher Bell, early in stage one, cannot get past Kyle Larson. Really fun racing all the way around. The cars can pass, but it takes a lot of time to get the setup going, get a run, and then work underneath the car or work above the car. Not a lot of that. A lot of kind of dive bombing, taking the air off, sliding up, and making that pass. Next comment here. Carson Hocevar is riding the Dente, baby. Really, really love to see that Chili's is leaning into their sponsorship. All the pit crew guys have custom fire suits that have jeans. They've got these plaid shirts, flannel shirts. They are riding the Dente down there on pit road for Carson Hocevar. So that's basically the first 15 laps of this race. And on lap 18, we start to see some really, really interesting narratives on this race. We've got brake rotors specifically, overheating, cooling down, and eventually exploding. So the fact that this Nashville track did not have a lot of grip on it, very little rubber laid down because we had that rain delay, a lot of rain all weekend. The O'Reilly Series on Saturday did lay a ton of rubber down on the track. But then when you have a torrential downpour like we had at Nashville Super Speedway overnight and into the wee hours of the morning on Sunday, all that rubber that was laid down by the O'Reilly Series got washed away. And then the fact that we did not get qualifying or practice for the Cup Series, there's just absolutely zero rubber on the racetrack, which means that it's extremely hard to drive. It's slippery conditions. The cars are on edge. Anybody tries to get aero on you or aero block, the cars are going to get very loose. So these guys were really driving down that backstretch hard. Then you have to hit the brakes extremely hard to go through 2 and 3, get back on the gas, start finish line, brake again. It's just constantly like, the one thing I saw was the temperatures were going from like 2000 Fahrenheit down to like 600 Fahrenheit. Every single lap, multiple times, gas, brakes, and these rotors, they're not designed to do that. They're designed to take the heavy braking loads, and then you hammer down hard, and then you do a braking load, like one turn, or you lift. It's not designed to do this intense up-down every single lap. So all the teams were immediately coming to pit road and saying, okay, what's going on with... The first car that had an issue was Connor Zilich on lap 18. He had a brake rotor literally explode. So when the brake rotor explodes, there's absolutely nothing you can do. Your car immediately, if it's a front right, which all these rotors were, because that's where all the airflow is going on these cars, his car turns right, it hits the wall, and his day is done. So this guy, Connor Zilich, the rookie, the young stud that was dominating O'Reilly Series last year, did not win the championship. He unfortunately didn't get the win in that stupid one race shootout. Jesse Love did get that championship last year. Connor Zilich, man, we'll talk about this in the standings later on in the episode, but this dude cannot catch a break in Cup. So first Trackhouse car to blow a brake rotor. The next car that had an issue on track was Ross Chastain. A little bit later, after the green flag dropped, Ross Chastain had the radar broke. He's done. So I've got a comment here, Trash House, because, man, Trackhouse Racing has been out to lunch this year. They have had horrendous performance. Daniel Suarez has been doing well. SVG's been doing well. But, yikes, Chastain and Zilich, ugly, ugly stuff. I think Chastain is, memory serves me right from looking at this a couple days ago, 27th in standings. That is not acceptable, and the Busch sponsorship is not going to appreciate that or live with that for much longer. Coming to the end of stage one, we had a caution, and I've got a comment here that we had 16 caution laps. And then I have in all caps, 16 laps. And then I further got 16 laps with like 15 exclamation points. Because we had a single car spin and NASCAR took 16 laps to run around the track, clean things up. And then all of a sudden they decided, holy cow, we've got to go. And they did a 2-lap shootout to end stage one. So absolutely embarrassing from race control, the tower, the cleanup crews, everybody involved in this. This is totally unacceptable, especially when this race started at after 9 o'clock Eastern time and you're riding 16 laps around, just clocking laps. We're logging laps. Nothing is happening. The announcers don't know what's happening. Like, people tuned out, which is why we said earlier in this episode they only had 1.6 million viewers, which is totally pathetic. It's because NASCAR cannot get the cars going after cautions. I cannot stand, and I will beat this drum until they figure this out. If you have a single car spin, it should be 6 laps or 8 laps maximum to ride around, pit, and go. Like, short tracks have this figured out. IndyCar has this figured out. the Indianapolis 500 last weekend had a caution with four laps to go in the race, and they went green, and we had the absolute best finish in Indy 500 history, the closest finish in Indy 500 history, and this is going viral on social media all over the world, and NASCAR is sitting here running 16 laps for a single car spin. It is a total embarrassment to motorsports. Baby G is going to get off the soapbox, and we're going to struggle through the rest of this NASCAR Cup Series because it was not good. Corey Heim was in the 67 running top 10, which I love to see, but then he got in an incident. Do not love to see that. Continuing on, brake rotor issues all over the place. The race was a total mess. Caution fest, wreck fest, really tough track, really tough to master. I was asleep for the end of this, and because it was 11:30 at night here on Central Time where I'm located, and I saw 100 laps to go, and in my head I'm going, there's going to be another stage caution, which is going to take forever. They're going to take 10 minutes of commercials. They're going to fart around. Cody Ware's going to spin in the back of the field. I was like, I'm done. I have work tomorrow. I cannot sit here and watch two more hours of racing. But I woke up to an absolutely delightful text from B-Boy, who is still fumbling around with his microphone. I've got him on video, and he cannot figure this out. But we had an absolutely amazing finish. Restart with four laps to go. Denny Hamlin, Chase Briscoe, Christopher Bell, they all have a chance to go for the win here. And they're battling super hard. You've got Briscoe going low, Hamlin blocking, Bell shooting down the middle. Next lap, Briscoe fades high. He goes for it. He cannot get that passed on. Hamlin shoots the middle. And Denny Hamlin, baby, he gets it done for win number 62. He does the Kyle Busch bow. Wow, what an absolutely amazing finish to this race. If you have not seen this, three Toyotas, all JGR cars, battling it out, racing each other clean for one of the best finishes of the season that unfortunately very few people saw because, like we said, they had to delay this thing over an hour. The race was super late. It ended very late on the East Coast. I want to say it was after 1 in the morning. But wow, if you have not seen this, jump on YouTube and check out the race recap. Wow. One of the best races of the year so far that unfortunately, like we said, a lot of people tuned out to because number one, it was on Prime streaming. People don't have that. Number two, it ended so late. But damn, Denny Hamlin, well done. The absolute veteran of the series right now. He is dominating right now. I'm loving what Denny Hamlin is doing. And that was a great weekend at Nashville Super Speedway. Up next, we've got some other series. We've got Formula One. I do not know if they race this weekend, but up next, we've got Monaco. Baby G only, that is your F1 recap. Moving on to the IndyCar series, Christian Rasmussen, the guy that won the Milwaukee Mile last year for his first win, multi-year extension with Ed Carpenter Racing. Absolutely love to see that. Coming to the race at IndyCar, we had the Detroit Grand Prix. I believe it's called the Chevrolet Grand Prix. Will Power takes the lead on lap 26. Oof, then he stays out way too long. Tires die, which will happen at one of these tight street courses, so he had to come in and his day was essentially over. Coming up a little bit later in this race, David Lucas and Mick Schumacher, the rookie, get into each other. Both miss the corner, hit the hard wall, and their day is over. Last comment here for IndyCar. Alex Palou wins, leading 71 of the 100 laps. Yeah, we don't love to see that. We talked about this last week. We need this thing to be tighter for those two races we have coming up later this summer at Milwaukee Mile. Rounding out the podium, though, for this one, Kyle Kirkwood and Graham Rahal. So Overall, I didn't see much of this one. I tuned in on the radio coming from the out-of-town weekend I had, listened to a little bit of it. I heard Alex Palou got out to the lead. He was running away, so I immediately tuned out, as unfortunately, a lot of people will probably be doing if Alex Palou keeps winning these races. Up next for the IndyCar series, we have the Bomarito. Is that right? Bomarito Automotive Group. Man, this is really easy to say. We've got the Bomarito Automotive Group 500 at WWTR/Gateway. That is the Worldwide Technology Raceway in St. Louis, Missouri, which is not in St. Louis, Missouri. It is in Gateway, Illinois, on Sunday, June 7th at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. That is not a typo here. 9 o'clock Eastern on Sunday. Y'all, you better not have too hard of a Sunday fun day, or you're going to miss this IndyCar race at Gateway. And this is one where if the only thing you see the entire race is the warm-up before they go green and the massive explosion they do on the backstretch, that might be the only thing you need to see. You can catch the replay in the morning. You can catch the 30-minute IndyCar highlights on YouTube, which, full stop, that's what I do sometimes because I am out of town. It's the summer in the Midwest. We're at the beach. We're at the beer garden. We're at my local track. At a certain point, bro, you just got to catch replays and talk about this shit live on the pod. Gateway, St. Louis, Illinois, WWTR, Bomarito. I don't know what the fuck we're doing here with this IndyCar shit. Like, what city are you in? What's the race called? And what time is it? That's all we need to know. Sunday, 9 Eastern on Fox. Boom. All right, truck. Where are we going? NASCAR Cup Series. Where are we going? O'Reilly Series. Where are we going? We're not going anywhere because O'Reilly's is off. So we've got Michigan, baby. Truck Series. This is, bear with me, DQS Solutions and Staffing 250, powered by Precision Vehicle Logistics, on Saturday at 1:30 Eastern. Cup Series, the Firekeepers Casino 400 at 3 o'clock Eastern. Man, that cup one was easy after that Truck Series. Boom. Previous winners, 2025 Hamlin, 2024 our boy Tyler Reddick, and 2023 Papa G's boy, Chris Buescher. Again, NASCAR is going to Michigan. This is a track that I would absolutely love to go see to at some point, but the drive is just so long. It's like 6.5 hours. I could take the Lake Express Ferry across, which I do now get a corporate discount for. We could do that, but it's just not very high on the list, man. I love Michigan. The speeds are really high. It's a great track for the NASCAR Cup Series. Fastest oval on the track, which we love to see, and we hope we have a great race. So, drumroll, please. Baby G, B-Boy, is he back online yet? No, he's still fumbling with his microphone. What's going on out there in the West Coast, B-Boy? Damn, we got to get that Wi-Fi going, but let's read the standings. Baby G's doing it. As always, we're going to rip through these here. Tyler Reddick still in first place with 657 points. Denny Hamlin in second. Wow, we're sub 100. So Denny Hamlin is only 97 points behind with 560. Then we've got Ryan Blaney still hanging on in third. Chase Elliott up one in fourth. Ty Gibbs down one in fifth. Kyle Larson in sixth. Then we've got Christopher Bell, Chris Buescher, bunch of Chevys here from 9 through 12, Carson Hocevar, Daniel Suarez, William Byron, and SVG in 12th. Wow, SVG up two. Up two on an oval. That's amazing. 13th place, Brad Keselowski. 14th, Chase Briscoe. 15th place, Bubba Wallace, down two again. Man, Bubba's sliding down these points. You got to finish these races, boy. And 16th place, Austin Cindric. So that was your top 16 Chase drivers there. couple of call-outs here. Christopher Bell, still doing well despite not having the finishes he wanted in 7th. Kezo, unfortunately, down 2 in 13th. Like we said, Bubba is fading really, really hard. And what do we got down here, down in the bottom of the standings? We've got Ricky Stenhouse up 3 in 23rd. Ooh, I was one off. Okay, correction to what I said earlier in the episode. We said Ross Chastain was in 27th. He's in actually 23rd, which is atrocious for that Trackhouse Racing Chevrolet. We don't love to see that. Yeah, don't have a whole lot else there in the standings, but Big Joel in 18th, he is still on the bubble hard, not performing well. Yeah, it's kind of shaping up to what we thought it would be, right? We got some Toyotas, we got some Fords, we got some Chevys all in the mix. And honestly, my biggest call out here is two Trackhouse guys, Carson Hocevar in 9th, Daniel Suarez in 10th. They are absolutely driving the ever-living shit out of those Trackhouse cars because Ross Chastain is supposed to be the number one guy at Trackhouse, and he's all the way down there in 26th. So, well done, well done. Last call out here, Ty Gibbs in 5th. I mean, this is a guy who really, really struggled coming out of the O'Reilly series the last couple years, but he's coming to his own, so we love to see that. Big G is happy with the 54 in 5th place. All right, guys, checking in quick here to see if we've got any final comments from B-Boy. And we do have a quick comment. I've got a comment here from him on our Discord where we trade messages. We had a minor, quote, procedure. We will not get into that, but that is that's not good. So we're going to wrap up here. This is coming in live. So we're going to wrap up from the Big One podcast. Twitter at podcastbigone, emails podcastbigone@gmail.com. And our sponsorship next week might be coming from a hospital out on the West Coast. It might be coming from, I don't know, bro. Let's wrap it up. We're going to bring you out here, and we're going to figure out what's going on with our co-host, B-Boy. Thank you for listening to Baby G's Ramblings here on this latest episode of the Big One Podcast. Goodbye, one final sipski.